It is a beautiful sunshine day in the Gulf South. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us this afternoon on WWL. You know, it's less than 3 weeks away from the election. We've got a lot to talk about. And what I want to focus on ultimately this hour, and I want you to think about this. How do you define the enemy within? Donald Trump is talking about this a lot. And he's talking about using the U.S. military to retaliate against the enemy within. Exactly what he means by that, I'm not sure. Exactly what he plans to do, I don't know. Now, obviously, there are conversations about what to do if there's any violent eruptions on Election Day. And yes, the National Guard might need to be called out if something got to be too serious, or maybe even the military. But, you know, the military is not trained to deal with situations involving American citizens. It's a whole different entity. But yet Donald Trump is really feeding into his followers' hate for Democrats. And you can hate Democrats if you want. But is it really fair to say that Democrats are the enemy within? I mean, as a country, we have had enemies within. We've had domestic terrorists. We've had, in the past, we've had spies. We've had a true enemy within. But is it fair to call people who disagree with you politically the enemy within? We're going to talk about that this hour. Interesting polling information, which we will get to as well. And in an interesting race in Texas, it's getting closer. Ted Cruz is up by 4 points over his Democrat opponent, Colin Allred. But Ted Cruz was far ahead a little while back. It's getting closer. He's 4 points ahead at this point. I just checked in on the Real Clear Politics poll. Real Clear Politics does an average of all the polls that are out there. And right now, and I have seen Donald Trump slightly ahead in the Real Clear Politics polls in the past, but the average right now has Kamala Harris at 49.2%, Donald Trump at 47.5%. It's still really close. Very close. So nobody knows at this point. Nobody has any idea who's going to win. And, you know, this is different from the past because, I mean, I remember elections when you knew who was going to win. You know, you knew Ronald Reagan was going to beat Walter Mondale. Now, the polls were close for the reelection in 84. The polls were close at one point, and Mondale might have edged ahead a little bit. I don't remember specifically, but I know the polls were very, very close. And then Ronald Reagan just ran away with it. And you knew that he was going to beat Walter Mondale. You knew that Dukakis was not going to win. You know, you knew in some elections that the opponent was not going to win. In this election, we don't know who's going to win. You can think you know, but we really don't know. And we also don't know if the polls are totally accurate. All right. Kamala Harris's media blitz continues. In an interview with Charlemagne the God, Vice President Harris says voter apathy is not acceptable.
We should never sit back and say, okay, I'm not going to vote because everything hasn't been solved. I share a desire that everything should be solved, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think it is what we should all want. But that shouldn't stand in the way of us also knowing we can participate in a process that's about improving things.
Harris also said that the church that she grew up in encourages her to build people up, not bully them or tear them down.
And let's talk about the contrast here. Donald Trump and his followers spend full time trying to suggest that the measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down, which is absolutely contrary to the church I know.
He sells Bibles,
Where our church and my church is about saying true leadership, the measure of that is based on who you lift up.
At a rally in Atlanta, Donald Trump is going after non-white voters, a traditional, reliable vote for Democrats.
I'll tell you what, any African-American or Hispanic, and you know how well I'm doing there, that votes for Kamala, you got to have your head examined because they are really screwing you.
You know, Donald Trump and others are mispronouncing her name on purpose because it sort of dismisses her. It degrades her. And I think that they're doing this on purpose. And it's reverberating through the conservative media circles, just continuing to mispronounce her name. So just remember that that's their motive. Donald Trump says America is particularly in a state of freefall.
You're working more hours for less money to afford smaller houses, worse cars, fewer groceries, with absolutely nothing left to save. Our schools don't teach. Our cities aren't safe. Illegal aliens are pouring in by the millions and millions and millions, and we're teetering on the brink of World War III. Other than that, I think we're doing quite well.
Well, I think a lot of that is true exaggeration, and we know the reality of that. Crime in New Orleans, for example, sort of mirrors crime around the country, and crime is actually down. It's certainly not as low as it could be, but it is way, way down from where it was. Trump gave an interview with Bloomberg News to talk about his economic policies, but he struggled to stay on topic. And there's a lot of talk about Trump having a problem now with rambling, and is everything okay with him because he can't stay on topic? He did not like being fact-checked by the interviewer.
Former President Donald Trump uses an interview on economics to promote tariffs. Appearing before a friendly audience at the Economic Club of Chicago, Trump said tariffs are misunderstood.
To me, the most beautiful word in the dictionary is tariff.
Moderator John Micklethwaite, editor-in-chief of Bloomberg News, pushed back.
That is going to push up the cost for all those people who want to buy foreign goods.
Now, what's going
that
to happen?
It's simple mathematics, President Trump.
It's not. It is, but not the way you figured. I was always very good at mathematics.
Micklethwaite often struggled to keep the conversation focused on economics and business.
You got to be able to finish a thought, yeah, because it's very important. You know, this is big stuff we're talking about. You can't go that
You've
quickly.
You've gone from the dollar to
So let me just tell you.
Trump often repeated old stories and talking points about immigrants, voter fraud, and transgender athletes. I'm Ed Donahue.
And the Harris campaign is seizing on some of Trump's strange behavior after he danced on stage for 39 minutes at what was supposed to be a town hall event. It was kind of like Donald Trump went a little wacky.
I'm going to say what I have said publicly and will say many times based on my observations, and I think the observations of many. Donald Trump is increasingly unstable. And as has been said by the people who have worked closely with him, even when he was president, he's unfit to be president of the United States.
Vice presidential nominee Tim Walz rallied voters in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, big battleground state. He told them that they deserve better than what the Trump-Vance ticket has to offer.
It's important to know what we're up against, but look, I get damn tired of talking about this guy. I get tired of seeing him on TV, and I damn sure am tired of him making decisions for the women in our lives. So if you're sick of this guy, Kamala Harris is offering you a new way forward and a better tomorrow.
You know, Kamala Harris is uncharacteristically not doing as well as Biden and others have done on the Democrat side when it comes to African-American males. I'm just asking this question because I think this is, in a way, the elephant in the room. Are African-American males collectively and instinctively, not all, but collectively as a group, are African-American males sexist when it comes to a woman in the White House? And it doesn't matter that she's a person of color. She's a woman. I mean, is that a factor? Because there are some reasons why African-American men might bond with Donald Trump. But this is really strange that she's not doing as well as other Democrats have done. I mean, it's noticeable. And I wonder if collectively as a group, instinctively, African-American men can't see a woman in the White House. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And yeah, did you hear about that strange town hall that Trump was holding? He answered four questions. This was supposed to be about the economy, a Q&A about the economy. He answered four questions. And a Fox News correspondent summed it up by calling it a very strange thing, the Trump Town Hall in Pennsylvania. He said it turned on a dime. This is a Fox News correspondent. It turned on a dime after two Trump supporters passed out, fainted, needed medical attention in back-to-back episodes that paused the Q&A to stop for a while. The Q&A never really restarted after only four questions, mostly on the economy. Trump talked for a little while, but decided instead to play his favorite music to the crowd. He was standing on stage. The music ranged from Ave Maria to Pavarotti to James Brown. And Trump was urging the people to vote. And then he played YMCA. He was playing hits from years ago. Trump posted on his Truth Social platform, quote, "I had a town hall in Pennsylvania last night. It was amazing. The Q&A was almost finished when people began fainting from the excitement and heat. We started playing music while we waited and just kept going. So different, but it ended up being a great evening." But critics on social media just mocked Donald Trump for dancing on stage and cracking jokes. And he told one supporter to go out and vote on January the 5th. He talked about serial killer Hannibal Lecter again. And it was really a strange thing. And, you know, there are people now who are making the observation that Donald Trump is losing it. Is Donald Trump losing it? He's rambling. He often doesn't answer questions or even comes close to answering questions. He just goes off onto a rant. And he has referred to Nancy Pelosi and Democrats as being sick and evil. This Fox News town hall with Harris Faulkner from Fox News, this happened in Georgia. This was last night. Trump branded Democrats as the most dangerous threat in America. He said, quote, "They're Marxist and communist and fascist, and they're sick. We have China. We have Russia. We have all these countries. If we have a smart president, they can be handled. The more difficult are, you know, the Pelosis, these people. They're so sick. They're so evil." Fox News host Maria Bartiromo referred to Democrats as lunatics and a bigger threat. And Donald Trump said that we've got foreign adversaries, but these people are dangerous. He referred to Representative Adam Schiff of California as somebody that is one of the radical left lunatics, and he suggested that the military might be necessary to handle unrest on Election Day. And he said that Vice President Kamala Harris, who labeled him dangerous and increasingly unstable, he criticized her. She is warning that a second term of Donald Trump is a huge risk for America. She said, quote, "He is out for unchecked power." The town hall is going to air today. Well, this was this morning on the Faulkner Focus on Fox News. And by the way, it was a Donald Trump interview that was videotaped and, I guess, to some degree, edited. It doesn't mean that the answers were edited, but this is just the way they do this. They just clean it up and make it more presentable in some ways. This aired, I think, at 10 o'clock this morning. But this process goes on, and Donald Trump is talking about the enemy within and increasingly talking about using the military. So I ask you, who is the enemy within? And is it fair to say that if you're a MAGA supporter, is it fair to say that Democrats are the enemy within? Is it fair to say that people that have differing political opinions are the enemy within our country? You know, the enemy within, that is such a powerful statement, such a powerful description of people, that I don't think it's fair to label Democrats, or if you're a Democrat, I don't think it's fair to label Republicans the enemies from within. Why can't we be just like everybody else has been throughout history, and that is that we just disagree? So how do you define the enemy within? Is it fair to say that Democrats are the enemy within? If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. And YouTuber and boxer Jake Paul is predicting that the United States is going to fall if Donald Trump is not reelected, and that we are going to lose our right to free speech if Donald Trump is not elected. So we'll talk about that as well. But let's define who is the enemy within. It's October, feeling a little bit like Halloween. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, in this day in 2001, Bob Dylan was turned away by security guards at a concert at the Jackson County Exposition Center in Oregon. Why? He didn't have a credential. He didn't have a backstage pass. The guards were told under orders from Dylan's security director, do not let anyone in without a pass. And Bob Dylan shows up without a pass, they wouldn't let him in. I guess he just looked like some old man. But anyway, that's kind of funny. Obviously, he was eventually allowed in. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is just a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Get out and enjoy this. You know, if you don't have a dog, pretend to have a dog. Just go for a walk. Get out in it and get out in it this evening after work. You know, one great way to relieve yourself of stress and anxiety during this election season is to just go out and enjoy the weather. You know, I deal with this on the show, but I don't let this get to me all the time. All right, interesting polling that is out, and a lot of new polls are out. Our new Reuters poll shows that Kamala Harris is at 45%. Donald Trump is at 42%. I'm assuming that that's still within the margin of error. I mentioned the Real Clear Politics poll, which is an average of all of the polls out there, and Harris is at 49.2. Trump is at 47.5. In the swing state of Georgia, Trump is at 52, Harris is at 45, other is at 2%. In the swing state of North Carolina, Harris is at 49%, Trump at 47, other is at 1%. Ian has some information on this polling surge that's going on right now, and it's not new. It's happened before. And let's remind everybody that people want to vote for a winner. I wish there were no polls, but polls are important because people want to vote for the winner. People want to be on the winning side. And if somebody is in the lead, if somebody's not sure who to vote for, they'll vote for the leader in the polls. But is that person really in the lead? Anyway, he's got some interesting information about these polls that are surging right now.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. Here's where we're gonna get in the Wayback Machine. We're gonna get in the hot tub time machine. We're gonna get in the DeLorean, and we're gonna journey into the far distant past of 2022. I'm old enough to remember all the way back in 2022 when there was the midterms, right? And the Democrats were expected to get destroyed in the midterms, as everybody always does. That's the phenomenon of whatever party's in the White House always gets kind of wiped out in Congress. It happened to George Bush in 2006, Barack Obama in 2010. Donald Trump lost his trifecta in that blue wave in the 2018 midterms. So in 2022, you have every reason to expect a red wave because Biden is deeply unpopular at the time. And going into the 2022 midterms, Real Clear Politics, they predicted that the Republicans would net 54 seats in the Senate, and they got 49. The same polling aggregator, Real Clear Politics, predicted that the Republicans would gain 30 seats in the House. They gained 9. And they came away with one of the slimmest congressional majorities in history. Now, why did that happen? It's the same thing that's happening now. The 2022 midterms, we were told there would be this huge red wave. There was not. Why didn't it show up? Because at the last minute, a lot of these highly partisan Republican polling firms flood the zone with a lot of really slanted, low quality polls that artificially make the race look tighter than it is. And there's no regulation of these polling firms. If some Republican polling firm wants to, you know, poll 1,000 people, except they don't poll women, they don't poll black people, they don't poll young people, of course their result is going to be very friendly to Donald Trump and the Republicans. And that's exactly what's happening here. You don't even have to take my word for it. Anyone can just go and look this up. You have all these dark money, shady partisan polling firms that literally have not even conducted one poll yet so far in this election cycle. They haven't done one single poll since 2022. And now they're coming in at the 5-yard line and saying suddenly, after months of deadlock, now Trump has the momentum. He's surging in the swing states. He's up 5 points in Pennsylvania, whatever. And why is that? Is it the dancing at the town hall that suddenly has people? Is it because Kamala wasn't that good on 60 Minutes? I don't think so. I'm not buying that. I think it's just the GOP is putting out more partisan polls than Democrats right now by a factor of 26 to 1. I mean, wow. When I say they're flooding the zone, I mean it. They're publishing a lot of kind of fly-by-night, not worthy, not quality, trustable polls. And if RCP wants to pull that into their average, that's their business. 538 doesn't do that. But Republicans are doing this for two reasons. A, it dampens Democratic enthusiasm, and it gives, this is crucial, this is the really important part I want people to understand. It gives Republicans a reason to say that they were cheated if Donald Trump loses, because they can say, well, how could Donald Trump lose by 5 points? All the polling averages says he was leading by 5 points. So the reason that we lost is because the election was stolen from us, because the vote switching machines or the Russians or the ballot harvesters or whatever it is, they are setting themselves up a fail safe, an excuse for losing. That's what this polling surge is. And I'm not just making it. This is literally a thing they've done in the past before.
Election contention is a money-making proposition for Donald Trump. Whether he wins or loses, he makes money because people send him money. And we knew this was factual. We knew there was story after story, credible sources reporting that Donald Trump was asking for money from his followers, asking for money to help him with his legal fees and to help him with the contesting of the election, helping Rudy Giuliani, although I don't know if he ever got paid. Donald Trump was using that money. His wife was using some of that money. So those people were just used. They were financial pawns for Donald Trump because they might have given him money, but he made money on the contention of the election. So it's really interesting that these polls are showing up now and may be used as proof that the election was stolen. But again, polls are not always accurate. And we do the best we can to share with you the credible polls that we know about. And Ian brings up an interesting point. When I talk about the Real Clear Politics polls, it's an average of all the polls that they have access to. So that may be tainted with information from polls that are not accurate because they're sort of set up in a certain way. And so, you know, don't believe the polls. You got to go out and vote for who you feel needs to be the president of the United States. And even if you're in the red state of Louisiana, I think it's important to vote, even though you have a pretty good idea who's going to win the state of Louisiana. And I'll mention this again. I think we have 9 electoral votes. I really think that every state should break down the percentage of the popular vote in the state and give a percentage of the Republicans, give that percentage of 9% to Donald Trump, and the percentage of Democratic voters, give that percentage of the 9% to Kamala Harris. So that would make every state viable. We would still have the Electoral College, which is going to be really difficult to get rid of at this point, because the two parties know how to play the game based on the Electoral College system. So they don't want to change it because they've got the political machinery in place to play the game. So it would just be so much better if the percentage of the Republican and the Democrat vote determined the percentage of the electoral votes from each state that the candidate would get. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And who is the enemy within? Maybe people don't want to really respond to this too much. Maybe people don't want to admit that the enemy within, if you're a MAGA supporter, the enemy within is not the Democrats. Or do you really believe that's the Democrats? Again, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Gentile. Andrew, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good.
So I'm here to talk about just like my personal anxiety for this election.
Okay.
What I struggle with is just if I vote for Harris, I believe that myself, I'm condemning an entire ethnic group to be exterminated. And I just have a huge struggle with that when all I see every night is death and destruction from our tax dollars being sent overseas.
So you believe that your vote for Kamala Harris is a vote that's going to lead to the extermination of exactly who?
The Palestinian people.
Okay. Well, Yeah, Donald Trump is going to support the Israelis as well. I mean, I think this is, you know, it's so sad to me, Andrew, that human beings in America can't understand the humanity of people who are Palestinians, who are not part of Hamas, who are being hurt by this conflict, by this war.
I mean, just last 8 days ago, I saw MRIs of children with bullet holes in their head from ages like 4 to 10, the New York Times. 5 days ago, the UN reported that Israeli forces gas attacked peacekeeping forces in Lebanon. 3 days ago, I saw a 19-year-old and a UN polio vaccination site, a hospital. This 19-year-old man was burned alive while attached to his hospital bed while his brother watched. And it's horrifying every single day seeing all these things. And knowing that I know the weapons are built in St. Louis, shipped down the Mississippi. Our longshoremen bring them out to Israel, or they're flown over, and they're used that way. And it is completely against American law. And seeing this happen for over a year has just been so devastating.
Andrew, I understand your anxiety. Good luck with your vote. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So YouTuber and boxer Jake Paul says America's going to fall and we're going to lose our right to freedom of speech if Donald Trump doesn't win. Do you believe that? And if so, that would make the Democrats the enemy within. Are the Democrats the enemy within? Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. All right, we're coming back with more of your comments, and we'll get to some of your text messages coming up. But I really would like to try to define if it's fair to say that for Republicans, are Democrats the enemy within? Even the extreme Democrats who are doing nothing but voicing their opinion, are they really the enemy within, and should the military be used against them? All right, today on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, we wish a happy birthday to Wendy Wilson was born today in 1969. She's 55 years old today, part of the group Wilson Phillips. Wendy and her sister, Wendy Wilson and her sister Carney got together with China Phillips, and they formed Wilson Phillips. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. YouTuber and boxer Jake Paul is predicting the end of the United States if Trump doesn't win next month. He told The Hollywood Reporter he's going to fight Mike Tyson coming up in a match November 15th. Good luck with that, dude. I know Mike's a little old, but I bet he can still punch. Paul says that he fears the end of freedom of speech and millions of illegal immigrants are going to pour across the southern border if Trump does not beat Kamala Harris. He says it's going to be the end of free speech. It's going to be taken away in a secret, tricky way. I think America will fall. The borders will open. Tens of millions of illegal criminals and people from other countries will pour in. And I think freedom of speech will probably be taken away from us in a very secret and tricky way that we can't track technically. I'm also afraid that Donald Trump is going to rob us of freedom of speech. Let's go to Joe in New Orleans. Joe, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Scoot. Scoot.
Yeah.
What campaign said or is implying that we're going to be destroyed from within? Or the enemy within?
Well, Donald Trump is talking a lot about that.
He's the only one that's talking about that. He's the only one that's saying that. So who do you think he's talking about?
He's blatantly talking about, he's admitting that he's talking about Democrats.
That's exactly right. So, you know, that answers your question. It's only Trump that's saying that. And normally when he say things, it means it implies to him.
But is it fair to say that Democrats who disagree with Trump and disagree with MAGA supporters, is it fair to say that they're really the enemy within?
Oh, no, it's not fair. But that's his tactics.
Yeah.
That's what he uses to rouse up his supporters. you know, well, to Joe, fight his supporters.
I agree. And sadly, his supporters agree with that. I mean, there are people who really, there are people who look at anybody who disagrees with Trump as part of the enemy within who's trying to destroy this country. And that's not true. We're talking about differing opinions. All right, Ian's got some text messages.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot of them in here. Let's see. Here's a text about the enemy within. God, I have so many open right now. Hang on a second.
Well, we'll get to more. Just get to what you can now,
yes.
And we'll get to more next hour.
Scoot, regarding the enemy within, think back to the assault on the Capitol. Since it began at a Trump rally, it's probably safe to assume that the vast majority of the people at the Capitol were Republicans. So they either actively participated in violence or witnessed it firsthand and did nothing to stop it and were thereby guilty by association. So the enemy within is MAGA and anyone who supports them and their vindictive leader.
You know, that says a lot. Those people were definitely the enemy within. Now, that doesn't represent mainstream Republicans, but it represents a lot of MAGA supporters.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, the enemy within is willful ignorance, perhaps accompanied by choosing to live in an information bubble. Even Justice Scalia realized the danger of this, and he always hired very liberal lawyers to clerk for him. He also valued a close relationship with Ginsburg. This is because he understood the critical importance of divergent views, especially when they contradict your own.
This country was built on differing opinions. There was the American Revolution. There were arguments. There were a lot of moments when, you know, you didn't know which direction this country was going to go in or if it was even going to develop, because of differing opinions. So this is nothing new.
I'll leave you with this one. This text says, I consider people who do not respect the Constitution and are praised by communist countries, they are the enemy within.
Really good point. So if Donald Trump says that Democrats like Adam Schiff, the congressman from California who's running for Senate, if Nancy Pelosi, these people haven't done anything violent. They have a different opinion from Donald Trump. If Donald Trump is saying they are the enemy within, then Donald Trump does not respect the Constitution. I mean, it's that simple. If you've got a comment, the Okunrad Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. All right, she is the, in my opinion, she is the worst singer ever. On this day in 1967, Joan Baez, folk singer, was along with over 100 anti-war protesters arrested for blocking the entrance to the Army Induction Center in Oakland, California. She served 10 days in jail, and she was one of the radicals back in the 60s. I mean, even with people who were against the government, she was a real radical, and really, her voice is awful. She was a terrible, terrible singer. She should have been thrown in jail because of her singing. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar today, we wish happy birthday to Flea, bass player for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Flea is 62 years old today. We're going to get to more of your text about who is the enemy within, and I think it's important that we talk about this because as a nation, we're moving in the direction of looking at each other, fellow Americans, as the enemy within. And I think that is just such a powerful description of a group or individuals that it really should not apply to Americans. The enemy within is not those people who disagree with Donald Trump. We have a right to disagree with Donald Trump. You have a right to disagree with me. I have a right to disagree with Donald Trump on many issues. I have a right to agree with some things about Kamala Harris. I criticize Kamala Harris sometimes, but we have a right to disagree. And disagree does not make us the enemy. Can anybody support the idea that the Democrats are the enemy within? You know, Democrats are not trying to destroy the country. All right, we're going to talk more about this in the next hour. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL.